Singing, how great is our God this morning.
the name of all names.
Let's get around and shake someone's hand this morning.
I was working in town one afternoon, attending some business affairs. I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what's happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, the crippled man, did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl, he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, and you've tried everything you can possibly think of, there's no relief to be found. That very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf and the lame, is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. And you'll be trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? Trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all.
Good morning, good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. And Psalm 48:14, we read, "Our God will be our guide even to the end. He is our all in all." Let's turn to page 460, singing, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me," all three verses. Sing the first, third, and last verse of Footsteps of Jesus. Turning to page 369, singing, "Oh Jesus, I Have Promised," first, second, and last verse. Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side. No wonder from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Last verse. Oh, Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend. Amen. You may be seated.
All right, good morning and welcome to Assurance Baptist Church. Is everybody awake this morning? Didn't struggle too bad? No, everybody seems to be awake. For now, right? Till preacher starts preaching?
Yeah.
No, just kidding. But I don't see any first-time visitors in here. We did have a couple over in junior church, but we're going to get started with a word of prayer, and then Maddie's going to come and sing for you. But let's go to the Lord and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity, God, to come into your house and worship you. Lord, we thank you for the time of praise we already had this morning, Lord. We pray for the upcoming sermon hour, Lord, that you would speak through our pastor, Lord, that you convict us by your word, and that we can apply it to our lives. And Lord, we pray that if there's someone here today that isn't saved, that today they would come to trust you as their Savior. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bye.
knowing God has heard my prayer, and I will cling to the promise that He brings. Even death will have no sting or power in hell. In His presence I will dwell, where it is well. It is well. There is peace in my despair, knowing God has heard my prayer, and I will cling to the promise that He brings. Even death will have no sting.
Glad she got up a round of applause before she sang, because my oversight, Maddie's working double duty today. I did not plan to have her do the choir special and the special, just the schedule worked out that way, and so she had double duty today, and so I'm glad she got a reaction before she even sang, amen, and after, praise the Lord. See, it all worked out for the glory of God, and we're so thankful for all these folks who use their talents for the Lord. This morning, we're looking at the second week of overcoming the sin of fear. Overcoming the sin of fear. Now, I remind you that fear is only a sin if it stops you from doing what God would have you to do. And so, while we're speaking about that, if it is God's will for you to get up here and sing, if you can't sing, don't come up here. Okay, if you can sing and you're being held back because of fear, then get over that fear as quickly as possible. Listen to the sermon today and through this series so that you can use your voice for the glory of God. Amen. There are some wonderful, talented people in our church who use their talents and abilities for the Lord in different areas. And I'm so thankful for that. This morning, I want to just give God the glory. But I want to make sure that if you are able to use your voice for God's glory, that you do that. Praise the Lord. Or if you can play an instrument. We're going to get Brother Kitten up here. Brother Randy just played his guitar, and we're going to get Kitten up here with his guitar. I mean, the two of you, we might just have a rock show. No, we're not going to do that. But we are going to use it for the glory of God. Amen. If they start playing Metallica, we gotta quit it and do something different. But we're excited about how God is going to use this time. But this morning I want to talk to you about the fear of sin, or overcoming the fear of sin, and looking specifically at trauma. Now, culturally, PTSD is one of those post-traumatic stress disorder. They have now changed that in the DSMs to post-traumatic stress syndrome, because disorder, a lot of the vets wouldn't go get help because disorder sounded like something was really wrong, and they didn't like that. And so they went to a syndrome because they were seeking more help if it was a syndrome rather than a disorder. But for intents and purposes of what we know, PTSD is what I'll call it today. But we're speaking mostly just of trauma. Trauma is an interesting thing. You know, our body becomes inflamed. Inflammation is a reaction to an old injury. When you sprain your ankle, the tissue surrounding it becomes inflamed to even that point that even though the tissue around it is not injured, it inflames to overreact and protect the injury, the part that actually is injured. When it occurs in a healthy tissue or it persists, it becomes chronic inflammation. And that just says that the healthy part is now becoming the problem, and that wasn't even the original problem. Our brain becomes inflamed with trauma. Past hurts, we see that our bodies react to trauma and PTSD. It begins to inflame even the healthy parts of your life. The initial hurt, experience, pain, loss, mistakes begin to be emotionally inflamed which often bring with the inflammation isolation, avoidance, shame, guilt, and despair. Our trauma can become so mentally inflamed that it triggers physical inflammation to an otherwise healthy body. When you have trauma, often you'll have nausea and headaches, panic attacks, tears. Trauma is a fear that the past experience will happen again. Remember, it is only a sin if it is stopping you from doing God's will. Fearful will to allow God to reign in yours and your loved ones' lives. Because of something bad that's happened in the past or a loss or an experience, oftentimes it inflames. The reaction causes ultimately an overreaction, not that you're overreacting, but an overreaction of your brain, and causes you to fear what is out there in the future because of what's already happened in the past. People who are hurt as children, it inflames their brain for the future. And then they oftentimes take that out on their children, and their children are super guarded or not allowed to do certain things because of something that happened in their past. But the children have healthy brains, and we often treat them and train them to have unhealthy brains because of our trauma. When people experience loss, or when people experience a hard time or something bad that happens, and it can be continually happening, what happens is then they begin to have the fear and the doubt, the past trauma, that it's going to happen again. Now, I'm not God, and I can't stop anything from happening again, and I can't fix you. But I can take from the Word of God. I'm not a psychologist. I studied 2 years of psychology at Wright State, and I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. I don't even know how these people could do it. I don't even like going to class with these people. So I quit that and got into business and then married a psychologist. How my life worked out. And now I'm constantly 24/7 being psychoanalyzed by my wife. You know, she's looking at me like this when when I'm just sitting there. I see her sometimes staring at me. And I thought, I know she's not staring at me because I'm just so good looking. Why is she looking at me? And she's like, I'm just wondering what you're thinking. That's weird. That's how these psych people think, right? But you know, I look at this today, so I want you to understand, I can't fix you. I want to be very clear that I'm not the kind of pastor that would say to you, don't take medications if that's what your doctor prescribes you. I'm not a doctor. If that's what you need to help you to overcome that. But what I would say to you is this, that, and you'll see this later, that prayer is greater than pills. Amen. And that God is greater than that. And so you may need that for a time, but the ultimate goal to overcome that is to let the source of all power overpower the trauma. How do we overcome trauma? PTSD, biblically. Well, you know what? It's interesting. We don't think about this when we think about Jesus Christ, but Jesus actually gives us the answer. Let's look in our Bibles, Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 44. Jesus himself is the answer. Jesus, physical man, his humanity, in the hypostatic union, the man Jesus suffered trauma and PTSD in our world's emotional, psychological advances. That's what we would call this. And you say, how could Jesus suffer trauma? How could he have PTSD? Well, I'm going to show you today. Let's stand here, if you're able, for the reading and honor of God's word, a few verses in Luke 22. Jesus is in Gethsemane. Luke tells us here, and he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Hematidrosis is a real condition that he was suffering there in the Bible. Let's pray. Father God, help us today. There's someone here today, maybe online, or who would watch this message later, that is struggling with trauma, struggling with stress disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder. They're hurting. Their past experiences, losses, past issues of pain and mistakes is causing them to be inflamed with isolation and avoidance, shame, guilt, despair, fear. Lord, we know you've not given us the spirit of fear, We saw the source of that last week. It's not from you, Father, but we know victory is from you. We know that you are the source of overcoming all things. Lord, we look today at your son, Jesus, who overcame it all on the cross of Calvary, and in that giving us the victory as well. Father, we ask that you bless this word, the reading of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. We forget sometimes that Jesus had trauma. His entire earthly life was filled with drama and trauma. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. Until Easter Sunday, into his physical resurrection, Jesus lived in a state of trauma, of post-traumatic stress disorder. You say, Pastor, he's God. Yes, but he's also man. He was so much God, but he's also so much man. That's what makes him so amazing, because his passion was such that even in his trauma and distress, that he chose to overcome, that he chose the cross, and he chose to win the victory for you and I. I don't think you heard me. Listen, this series is called Overcoming the Sin of Fear. And so we're going to preach through it. I'm not one of those people that's going to get up here and articulate and be all analytical and try to teach you something. We're going to preach Jesus at this church. And when we preach him, we're preaching about how he overcomes this sin of fear. Amen. And so even though it's Time Change Sunday and it snowed during spring forward, you can get a little excited today, because we're going to see how Jesus overcame his trauma, his post-traumatic stress disorder, overcame. And when he overcame it, he overcame death, hell, and the grave, and he gave you the same victory. Somebody ought to say hallelujah this morning. We haven't even started the message yet, and I'm ready to go. I haven't drank any caffeine. I've been doing really well. And so the message, I told Brother Jeremy, they've got the animals over this morning. I said, I'm just going to tell you right now, I feel like this is a long message. And so I haven't had any caffeine. This is all Jesus flowing through me today. Amen. Jesus knew and could see what was going to happen to him. Remember, he's God. Because he's man, so Jesus being omnipotent and omniscient from the time, I don't know how it worked when he was a little boy, but I know that when he was a child in the temple, he already knew he was to be about his father's business. So at some point, some level, Jesus' earthly mind, his physical mind, knew what he would suffer on Calvary's cross. And he didn't just know that he would die on a cross. He knew exactly the matter. He knew they would pull his beard out. He knew that they would spit on him. He knew that they would whip him. He knew that they would pierce nails to his hand. He knew that his entire life, yet his passion was such that he still died for your sins. Amen. And his humanity was that he was afraid. Jesus isn't a sinner, so we understand that fear isn't a sin. But if the fear would have stopped him, you do realize that Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. The Bible says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That means he willingly chose. He says, no man takes my life. I lay it down freely. He knew it was coming. He said, I'm afraid, but I'm not going to let fear overcome me. I'm going to overcome fear, even the trauma. So before Jesus was ever whipped, beaten, or scarred, Jesus knew there was trauma in his heart and in his mind. He knew that this is what was going to happen to him. I can prove it. Look at Matthew 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. That's important because he knew what was coming, but he also knew the end of the story. Amen. He knew he'd rise again. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And Jesus says unto him, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. See, he says, fear was going to try to tell him, no, this isn't going to happen. We're going to kill these Romans. We're going to kill these Pharisees. Fear says, Satan creeps in and says, we want you to live in that fear. But Jesus says, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus, look what he says in Matthew 17. Verses 22 and 23, Jesus knew what was going to happen. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of man, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorrow. Before he ever prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew he was suffering trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, because in Jesus' mind, because he knows all things, it's already happened. He's suffering with that. and they shall kill him. The third day he shall be raised again, and they were exceeding sorrow. Keep going there. Look in Psalm 22, way back in the Old Testament. You say, well, that's New Testament. That's just a few weeks before Jesus dies. Well, let me show you way before Jesus died. David, he actually cried this. Jesus cries it from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Some of us have trauma like that. We're crying out to God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why can't I overcome this trauma, the bad things that have happened to me? Why can't I overcome these hurts? Why can't I overcome it? Look at the next verses there, 6-8. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. It is a foreshadowing, a prophecy of the cross. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. They said, if you be the Christ, save yourself. The thief on the cross said, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. You can do it. David predicted. He told him. Look at 11-21. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. You ever feel like that when you're in trauma and stress? There's no one there to help. Even Jesus felt like that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what's great about this? The reason why God gave me these verses? Because if you have that kind of trauma, you're like Jesus. Jesus suffered. That's why he came as a kinsman redeemer, as a human being, because that way he's felt in all such fashion, all the infirmities, all the temptation that you and I have felt. Jesus has been there and done that, and he overcame it. Many bulls come past me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of my joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like the potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of the death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Jesus already knew, guys. Skip to the verses in Isaiah 53. Skip down there for me, Brother AJ. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus already knew they were going to hate him. He was already suffering trauma. This is 700 years before he was ever born of a virgin. Jesus already knew what he was coming to endure. His whole life he lived in trauma. His whole life he lived in a state of post-traumatic stress, because it's already been known that this was going to happen to him. So he's living that post-traumatic stress disorder or syndrome. He's already known that. Do you ever think about that? When he prayed that prayer in the garden, Jesus already knew what was going to happen. And he'd known it because he's the Ancient of Days. He's known it since the plan was put into place, before the Bible was ever put to paper. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Imagine that. I'm going to go down here to earth, Daddy. I know they're going to reject me and despise me. I know they're going to beat me. And they're not going to beat me because I'm bad, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Jesus knew, even my friends are going to turn their back on me. The guys that I've been training up, hanging out with, they're going to run away. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm going to have to put on all of sin. And because I'm putting on all of sin, even my dad is going to turn his back on me. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. How did Jesus overcome this for the glory of the Father? How do we overcome this fear? Trauma. So many Christians are struggling with trauma, past hurts and experiences. So many Christians are struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder. Somebody did something to you when you were a little kid. It's the healthy part of your brain, the spirit that's not fear, is overcome with the inflammation of the things that happened in the past. So it's hard for you to live. It's hard for you to forgive yourself and get over losses you've suffered, bad things that have happened. You're so inflamed. The devil is using that inflammation. There's no Advil to take to get that to go away. How do we overcome it? How did Jesus overcome it? Number one, with purposed prayer. With purposed prayer. In Luke 22, verses 41 through 44, we see Jesus' purposed prayer is not directed to obtain what we want, but what God's will is. Jesus, he was withdrawn from about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed. He's in a reverent position, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup. See, he says, if you're willing, if it's what you want, Father. Oftentimes we're praying for something and it's not purpose. Our purpose and our prayer is what we want, but really purpose prayer is praying what God wants for us. Are you okay today if the past hurt, the past trauma that you're suffering, if God says that that's your thorn in the flesh, if that's supposed to stay there so that you can overcome it and be glorifying to him? God gets no glory when everything's in perfect conditions. God gets glory when everything goes wrong. You think about an airplane pilot. When the skies are sunny, they get no glory. They don't have any stories. But when an airplane pilot lands on the Hudson and saves lots of people alive, they give them mad glory. They say, this is a great pilot. But guess what? I like the pilots that land. Amen. And so every pilot that goes up and goes down, been doing it for 30 years, they're a great pilot to me, especially if I've been on their plane. Come on. But they don't get any glory for just doing what they're supposed to do every day. But the ones who have a rescue or the ones who have an engine malfunction and they get it to safely land, see, there's no glory until something goes wrong. Even in the Christian life, when your life is going smoothly, there's not much glory that's being shown there. You might say, God is good. But when something bad happens and you still will say, as Sister Maddie sang this morning, it is well, that's when God gets the glory. Amen. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him and being in agony. Watch this. He's already praying. He prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Christian, if you're suffering or know someone who's suffering from trauma, do you have purposed prayer? God's will is not the spirit of fear. This includes trauma stopping us from doing God's will. Andrew Murray said, prayer is not monologue, but dialogue. God's voice is its most essential part. Listening to God's voice is the secret of the assurance that he will listen to mine. Henry Blackaby, the writer of Experiencing God, wrote, our difficulty is not that we don't know God's will. Our discomfort comes from the fact that we do know his will, but we do not want to do it. David Jeremiah wrote, when you follow God's will for your life, you can see how yesterday's events prepared you for today's challenges and tomorrow's opportunities. God. Purpose, prayer. I said it earlier, prayer is greater than pills. Prayer is greater than pills. You may need pills, but what I know about people is people will purpose to start to drink alcohol and self-medicate or take drugs and self-medicate for trauma, and that will not work. It will drag you further in, and ultimately it causes you to sin, and it will cause you to hurt other people. Trauma will cause you to hurt those around you because you've been through something, so now you're taking them through it because you can't overcome that. People who live through traumatic experiences are 99% more likely to have someone around them live through one as well, or to take someone else through. If you grew up in a family where the father is an abuser, 99% of the time, the son either becomes an abuser or finds abusive people because that's what they're used to. Their brain has been so inflamed that that becomes normal, just like people who live with chronic inflammation. It's become normal, and so they have chronic inflammation and they walk with a limp, but they just learn how to navigate life because that's what it is for them, but it doesn't mean that it has to be that way. Number two, with purpose plans. Jesus had purpose plans. Look at verse 42. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know something that I've learned? When we understand that knowing our end is better than our beginning, we start to do better, don't we? Jeremiah 29:11 says that, hey, God knows his plans towards us, right? And that ultimately these plans are to succeed. But we need to concentrate on the victory ahead. Concentrate on the current victories. Look at verse 43. Jesus says, Father, this doesn't have to happen. But then there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. heavenly help came, aren't they not ministering spirits? We still have angels that surround us, my friends, that come to us. There are still angels, biblically speaking, that can help you and will strengthen you as well. But I got news for you. You got something greater than the angels. You have the Holy Spirit of God indwelled in you. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. That includes trauma, my friend. Concentrate on the current victories. We so much worry about the past and what happened in the old time that we're not concentrating on right now. We spend so much time, listen to this, we spend so much time worrying about the what ifs, we forget to enjoy the I haves. We spend so much time worrying about the what ifs, we don't spend time focusing on the I haves. Something bad happened to you, a bad relationship, a bad loss. Look around you, friends. This is an I have. You got Christian brothers and sisters. This is current. Somebody passed away. Something didn't happen just the way you expected it to. You lost the job. You lost the relationship. Something bad, a trauma. You saw something, experienced something really difficult. But listen, stop focusing on what's back there. Jesus said, I can't keep focusing on this. I'm strengthened by God in heaven. I got to look forward because Jesus, even though he was moving to the cross, he knew the cross would be the end of death and hell and the grave. He knew the cross was the great elixir for all sin, for all who would believe. Stop dwelling in the past. A little child, when they learn to play baseball, are often afraid to stand in the batter's box. Spring training, World Baseball Classic's going on. I don't really like to watch baseball, but I like to play baseball. Not very good at it. Could never hit the curveball. You know, when you're a chubby, 6 foot, 185-pound fifth grader, you know, you can hit that fastball over the fence. And, you know, I was the man. I was Babe Ruth of not whole baseball when I was that age. You know, I'd hit it out. I'd tip my cap at the people. I'd run around. I'd say hi to the girls on my way around first and second. And then something happened about the end of fifth grade, sixth grade. People start making the ball move. And when the ball started to move, I went, whew, and it wasn't so cool anymore. I said, I'm finished with this baseball thing. Basketball it is for me. Now, you know, when a child's learning, their instinct is to duck and to step out of the path of the ball coming because they're afraid. Their perception is the ball is going to hit them. They have to let go of their own assessment of the situation and trust the wisdom of the coach to stand where the coach tells them to so they can swing the bat properly and hit the ball. The same way the child has to trust the coach and avoid a natural reaction of what is going on, we have to trust God with every situation in our lives and ask him the proper way to respond. When you have trauma, my friend, get in the batter's box. And don't just get in the batter's box. Don't duck when the ball's coming. Trust that God has put you in the right position to swing and to contact the ball. Number three, how do we overcome it? We overcome it with present power. Look at verse 45. I don't know, maybe our signs, we got some new signs. Easter has changed everything. Last time I checked, my Bible says, for he is not here, he is risen as he has said. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Now, I can't prove it, but the Bible, Luke writes here that he rose up from prayer. Amen. And I like that because when he rises up from that, we understand that it's foreshadowing that he is going to raise up again, isn't he? He understood that he was going to go through this trauma, through post-traumatic stress, that bad things were going to happen to him. He's in the garden. The next thing that happens in the Gospel of Luke is they come out and arrest him. Peter wants to fight, and he says, let it happen. Suffer to be so. Don't you understand, Peter? This is what I came for. Don't you understand, Peter? I came to live through this stress and trauma so we could get the ultimate victory so I could raise again the third day. You understand in your life that sometimes in your current situation, it's just the setup for a better ending. God's allowing things to happen, and I don't control that. God is sovereign. He's controlling it in that instance, in that situation, in your life. I don't know why. It's the hardest thing as a pastor when you can't explain to somebody why this is happening. And it sounds so overly spiritual, but it is the truth of the Word of God. It's because God is in control. And God has allowed it to happen, but I know this, that all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose, who love God. And so there must be something better at the end of this thing than what was at the beginning. I can't tell you what it is, but if I could tell you what it is, you wouldn't want it. But because God knows what it is, you should be dying for it. I can't tell you what heaven looks like completely. I know what the New Jerusalem looks like because the Bible tells us. But I know this much. I couldn't explain it or give you vivid details of it, but I know it good there. I know that just over in the Beulah land, there's something over there. There's a land that is fairer than day. There's something over there that's worth seeing one of these days. I don't want to see it today. But one day, you know, the song says, just over in the glory land. I'm not ready to go just over just yet. You know what I'm talking about? But one day, amen, with present power, let's take some steps here. How can we get through this drama? What did Jesus do? He attacked it head on. Jesus rose up from his prayer. Father, if you can take it from me, take it from me. If you can't, thy will be done. Jesus rose up. He walks right out. He says, come on, boys, let's go out here. They say, are you Jesus of Nazareth? That's me. Come on, arrest me. Let's get this thing going. I know what's about to happen. He already knew. He's already told us what was going to happen way back in the Psalms, way back in Isaiah, all the synoptic gospels. He already told us. He already understood. Here he goes. What was he getting arrested for? So he could get slapped and punched, beard plucked, blindfolded, spat on, talked about, beaten. Jesus already knew that was going on and that that was going to happen. Yet Jesus had the will to go on because it was God's will. He overcame the fear of his trauma for the glory of God. How do we do it? We attack it. We don't avoid it. Many people are avoiding their trauma. They're avoiding talking about it, avoiding getting help from it, avoiding things that would cause them to have more trauma, or they're avoiding trying to do things that hurt them in the past or didn't work out in the past, so they just stop trying altogether. But my thought for you this morning is that Jesus attacked it head on. He said, charge, forward, march, onward we go. And he ran in. Now, it may not be the most spiritual thing in the world, but when I was growing up as a kid, my parents were the kind of parents that if somebody hits you, then you hit them back. Amen. I'm not sure that that's like politically correct these days. I subscribe by the same theory, but I would say this. My mom and my dad both would say this individually. They say, and if you do get in a fight, you make sure you strike first. I like that. So when I was a little kid, now I never really had too many fights when I was a little kid. I beat up a whole bunch of people, but I wouldn't call them fights. You know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not saying I'm bad. I'm just saying I was picking on little guys, right? The only time I ever got beat up as a kid, a girl beat me up. She beat me down. It was my sister. It was my sister. Now, listen. But they said strike first. Why? My dad always said this, because if you hit them with that one-hitter quitter, the fight might be over. You hit them first and they're down, you don't got to do nothing else. But if you hit them and they look at you and they act like they're not hurt, my dad said, then you might want to run. You know, they were teaching me honestly to attack a problem head on. That in the fear situation, in a trauma situation, we must attack it. We must hit it before it hits you. Those past experiences, they come up. Your brain is a powerful thing, isn't it? But let me teach you this. Anybody that I do counseling with here at the church, it's all free. They could tell you that I have one number one word that I use. And the word that I use in every ounce of counseling I do when I'm trying to help people with something, whether it be marital counseling, premarital counseling, whether it be for trauma, whether it be for other things, sin, here's the word. Control. Control. Because control, there's three things you can do with control. You either can lose control, keep control, or gain control. And control equals power. You have the power to overcome inside you. If you live through it, the pain you feel is not the original pain, it's just inflammation. Something that happened to you as a kid, the same thing's not happening again, but the same experience is causing inflammation. It's causing you to stop doing things that you could do for the glory of God because of what happened back there. The ankle didn't get sprained again. It's just what's inflamed around it. Something happened to you. You lost a relationship. You lost a friendship. You lost someone you love. Listen, you don't lose them over again, but that trauma keeps playing in your mind, and you go back to that place. But what you have to do is start to control it. If your brain caused it, then your brain can overcome it. You got to tell yourself that. You know, if you went out into the jungle and you saw a tiger, you would be afraid, like we talked about, right? You saw a tiger standing there. Hi, Mr. Tiger. And it shows its teeth, you're going to be afraid. Your heart rate's going to go up. And the next time, you live through that, but the next time you go into the jungle, you're going to fear that the tiger's there again. You know, there's some great fishing holes I've been to, and when I've reached down, you know, get a little snag bass fishing over in some weeds, and I reach down, and there's a giant water snake there, and I, you know what I don't do anymore? I don't go to those same fishing holes. I make sure I'm 11 to 8 feet over this way. The lady's got the animals over there today, and I said, I'll help you carry this in, but you got to promise me there's no snakes in these things. She said, I didn't bring any snakes today. Thank you. It's not that kind of church. Now listen. I'm going to talk about that kind of church tonight, but come back at 5 p.m. if you want to hear more. Now, there'll still be no snakes here, praise God and hallelujah. The present power. You have the power of control in you. This is the major reason people can't get over their traumas. This is the major reason. And now, listen, the trauma remains, but this is the major reason. So you focus in really good here. If you live through it, listen, this is important. If you live through it, you already have some semblance of victory. Life is precious, isn't it? We believe in the sanctity of human life. Brother Carter taught about it in Sunday school a couple weeks ago. We help with that and Elizabeth's New Life Center, and we believe in all those things. We believe in the sanctity of human life, but not just children in the womb, but we believe in this sanctity. We don't believe in murder. We don't believe in hurting each other. We believe in sanctifying or separating human life. It's above even animal life, amen? I love my animals, but human life is separated from God. That's what it's sanctified. Now listen to me. If you live through that past pain, step one's already accomplished. There's no trauma like death, because that causes trauma for everybody that's left behind. The person that's dead is just dead. They're either in heaven or in hell. There's no in-between, correct? So if you live through it, you have the first part of victory. You live through the pain you feel. It's not the original pain. That pain just keeps inflaming and popping back up in your head. But your brain, listen, but your brain is actually healthy. Your past hurt and experience didn't hurt and affect your brain. It didn't give you the spirit of fear because God hasn't given you that spirit of fear. It didn't affect the spirit as healthy, my friends. What's hurt, what's inflamed was the original hurt, and now it's been being built upon and inflamed every day like that original ankle injury. What happens around those ankles and that those tissues is it becomes scar tissue. It's not the original injury that's hurting. Now it's the scar tissue that's been built up, and the scar tissue is the thing that they go in surgery and clean up to get you back. Listen, what we have to clean up in your brains when you're going with trauma is the scar tissue, the past. See, the scar is not the original injury. The scar is a mark. That's why we call it a scar. It's a mark of what used to be hurt there. Your trauma is a scar, is a hurt from what used to be there, but it's not there anymore. Can I give you some good news? The empty tomb is a scar of what used to be there, but ain't there anymore. The empty tomb is a mark of inflammation. It was inflamed. They said, oh no, they've taken our Lord away. They said, why are you crying? He's not here. He is risen, as he said. You go tell Peter and the others that here I am. Baby, I'm back. Come on now. Listen, if you understand like I understand, if you knew him like I knew him, you would understand that you can overcome, that your scars are just an empty tomb, but you're risen in Christ Jesus. You've already overcame in Christ Jesus. Listen, it's so important that you understand your brain is causing the trauma to continually pop up, but your brain can fix it. You have to talk to yourself every once in a while. Don't do it with an Assurance Baptist Church t-shirt on or an Assurance Baptist Church sign in your front yard. Those are out there. If you need to talk to yourself, please do it all by yourself somewhere where no one else can hear you, because if you do it when other people can hear you, you're going to say, those people at Assurance Baptist Church are weird. They talk to themselves. But sometimes you got to have a little talk with yourself. You might even look in the mirror and say, self, my brain is causing me to live through these past hurts, but they can't live here anymore. They got to get out of this place. Listen, if you got a bum living with you, kick them out. Listen, if you got a bum in your brain, kick them out. Jesus says, I can't stay in this grave no more. I got to go somewhere. I got something to do. I got 3 days that's passed. It's time for me to rise up and to see my daddy. And it's time for me to call all the children who would accept my father, who would accept me, for them to be able to understand that at the midnight cry, we'll be going up. Listen, it's important for you to understand that we're overcoming the sin of fear, the sin of trauma. We're overcoming these PTSD situations because we're not going to allow it to stop us from giving God the glory. Jesus refused to stay in the grave because Jesus understood that it was so important for him to raise up 3 days later that we celebrate a whole time of year called Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. It was so important for him to overcome his fears because of that day, and that day changed everything. I'm telling you today, you can change the trauma and the PTSD in your life. You can overcome it for the glory of God. If something in your life, if trauma in your life is stopping you from serving God the way that God intended you to serve him, God intended you to serve him more than he intended for you to serve your children. God intended for you to serve him more than he intended for you to serve your spouse. Now, he gave you your spouse, but listen, you ain't got to have a spouse to serve God. God intended for you to use your voice for his glory, not for the glory of your shower or car radio. God intended for you to preach the gospel to every creature in every land more than he gave you this spirit. He didn't give you this spirit. More than the spirit of fear, this trauma should be overcoming and ruling in your life. Listen, can I tell you a story? See, this makes us so much like Jesus. I like reading that story. I know I had tears when I was reading it, but I have tears when I'm reading it, not because Jesus was being hurt, but because he was hurt for me, because of my sin. When I read Isaiah, I think about, my God, every time I've made a mistake, every time I've sinned, even as a Christian, that caused a lash, a stripe on my Savior's back. Makes me cry because I think to myself, every time I did something mean to my wife or wasn't the father I should have been, or every time I took a drink or smoked a black and mild back in the day, that those sins God was putting on the back of his son Jesus. Every time I had a nasty thought, every time I wasn't glorifying God where I could have been glorifying God. Listen to me. Every time you skip church, you're sinning. I don't care who likes it. It's the truth. I don't care if it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night. Every time you skip church, you are in sin because God says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Every time I used to skip church, I did. I didn't like going to church. Chandra took me. She drugged me, kicking and screaming. The boys were 2 and 1 years old, and they walked into Bible Baptist Church, Wilmington, on their own 2 feet, and I'm in the back going, I was the baby. And she drugged me in there, and I'd sit down, and I'd hate it. I'd sit there, and I'd say, I'm not going to like this. My training pastor, he likes when I tell this story. It doesn't matter what he says, it's stupid. You know, I was mad. I was not going to be happy in church. God said, I'll show you. Now you're going to preach, and everybody's going to think everything you say is stupid. You know what I mean? That's what happens to you. But you know, there was a little boy. Every day he walked home from school in a little town. As he walked by, there was a pet store on his way home. It was one of those old school pet stores where you could see the puppies in the window. How much is that doggy in the window? You know what I'm talking about. And he walked by and he'd see all the puppies, different breeds, different kinds, and he'd say, one of these days I'm going to save up enough money and I'm going to buy one of those puppies. And the little boy did this week in and week out until the end of the school year, and he kept saving money in his old-fashioned piggy bank, bright and pink, and he kept saving money until one day the piggy bank was so full that he knew that he had enough money, and so he stopped by on his way home from school, that old school pet store, and he went right up to the cash register, and the cash register people had seen him walking by and window shopping, and they knew he wanted one of those puppies. They said, have you brought enough money to buy one of these puppies today? And the young boy broke the piggy bank open right there on top of the counter, and they said, oh, you got plenty of money. You can come and pick out whatever puppy you'd like. The little boy walked back where they had a sliding door where he could see the puppies, and he picked one. The store owner said, oh, no, son, you don't want to pick that puppy. That puppy's crippled. You don't want him. You want one of these puppies that's healthy. And the little boy held that puppy to his chest and pulled up his sleeve on his pants. Bare titanium prosthetic leg that the little boy had, and he said, no, this one will be just fine because we have so much in common. We're going to be best friends. Listen, if you're suffering through trauma today, you're just like Jesus. And Jesus was crippled for a moment in time, beaten down, spat upon, treated very badly and poorly, and was suffering through trauma. Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Even from the cross, Jesus knew from the time that he was coming into the world, he said, I was sent to seek and to save that which was lost. But he knew in order to do that, that he would brutally be murdered, publicly stripped, completely naked, talked about, treated bad. And even to this day, people using his name as a cuss word, people denying and rejecting him, false religions, people serving a false Jesus. Jesus knew all of that, and he had trauma and stress over it, but still and yet, Jesus Christ says, I'm going to overcome. And he told you, hey, guess what? He says, you're going to have tribulations in this world. He said, you're going to have trauma. But he said, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. You've heard me do it before, and I love it, but I haven't had much trauma in my life. I can be very honest with you. But I'm married to someone who's had a lot of trauma in her life. Continual trauma because of past and because of things that happened as a little child, and nothing too egregious, but living through a divorced parents and living through not great relationships with some of those folks and some different situations that have happened in her life. And so for 20 years now, I've dealt with someone who has a lot of trauma. And it honestly doesn't affect our marriage, but it affects the way we live our life. And because of that, we have to step different ways, and we try to go through these steps and have purposed prayer and purposed plans and to have purpose situations where we look at ourselves and we say, okay, how can we plan to attack this thing? How can we purpose to have the power to control this situation? Control is a great thing, isn't it? How can we get control over our fears? How can we get control over those traumas in order to give God glory? And praise be to God, for the most part, I feel that my wife and me being some help has been able to do that and glorify God still in her body. She has food trauma. I'm just using her as an example. She can't eat hardly anything. But how can she still? She's not supposed to be in the nursery this morning, but there's a lot of kids in there, so she's helping out because that's how she can glorify God in her body. My thoughts is that she's had a Pepsi for breakfast, and that's all she's had. That's my guess. But she's like, I'm not going to allow this trauma to stop me from glorifying God. Now, you have similar stories, but I carry this with me everywhere I go. The reason why is because now, Brother Brandon, we changed all the clocks except for the pulpit one. So it says it's 10:45, so I'm just going to preach. Like, y'all good? I'm just going to. According to my clock, I got about an hour to go. Miss Nancy, I know you've been typing some of these sermons in there, but let's go back. I got some from all of 2022 in here. I'm back to Easter Sunday of 2022. Anybody? What did we talk about last Easter Sunday? Looks like the race to the resurrection. He arose. Praise be to God. The past, the resurrection past. I mean, we could go. I mean, never mind. Okay. But I carry this with me, and the reason why is because it's become my life song. I know people have life verses, and I have a life verse, but I have a life song, too. My life song is His Eye is on the Sparrow. And the reason why that's my life song is because I, in the past, have really suffered from anxiety attacks, panic attacks. They're induced by nothing. I had no physical or trauma or no, this happened before I worked in a correctional facility. I didn't have any trauma from that. It's just kind of one of those things that is in my life that was natural. And really, that fear comes from not death, but I think everything is rooted in that. But mine's always been a fear for everybody else. I think that's why God made me a shepherd. Because I worry more about everybody else, and that causes me great stress and anxiety. I don't really worry too much about me, but I'm always anxious. Now, God has given me mastery over this and power. I've got control over it. But I'm saying early in my marriage and my life, I struggled with it. So I think he gave me this song because I think to myself, you know, God, this isn't lost on God that we're suffering through these things. He looks down and he knows when one little sparrow falls to the ground. Amen. When one little sparrow, he says, are you not more valuable than many sparrows? So I think about this song, and I think about trauma, and I think about it, and I hold this song not because of personal trauma, but just because I think to myself, God, you've told me I'm more valuable than many sparrows, and you know if even one of those little feathers come off of one of those little sparrows, you know that. How much more? I can't use the scriptures of that he knows the number of hairs on my head. That won't prove he's God. But I can look at the sparrows. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. Even in my trauma, I sing this. Would you sing it with me? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. God can give you the victory over today. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Oh, Heavenly Father, bless our hearts today. Your son Jesus suffered trauma, suffered anxiety, suffered fear there in the garden, but he would refuse because of his passion, his great love towards us, to allow it to stop him from doing your will. Praise be to God today that Jesus Christ overcame his trauma, knowing all his life that he would suffer a brutal death, that he would suffer people talking about him, that he would suffer just after those verses, someone who had been traveling with him for 3.5 years to stab him right in the back over just a little bit of change. Oh, Jesus knew all that. Yet he went to the cross even for Judas too. Today, Lord, we know you've gone to the cross for even us. As the music begins to play, I'm not going to talk much. If you're here today and you're facing trauma, overcoming, would you come and kneel down and have purpose prayer? You come now. You don't have to wait. Would you have purpose prayer right here at an old-fashioned altar, asking God to give you the power, the control to overcome this? You come on now. I know there's more people in this room that say, I got to get over some trauma. Maybe there's someone in your life, some family members of yours, some friends of yours that need you to be purposely praying for them to overcome these traumas. You come on and come now. To those who are here today that may not know Christ as Savior, you'll never overcome any trauma without the overcomer. You'll never overcome death, hell, and the grave without the only one who has overcome death, hell, and the grave. And his name is Jesus Christ. Oh, he was a man that suffered like passions as us, but oh, he's the great God of the universe. He made all things, and all things were made by him, and nothing was made without him that was made. And he is God in flesh. And because he's God in flesh, he has all power. He says, my Father which is in heaven, which is greater than all, has given me all power. I and my Father are one. Today, friend, you can have Jesus reigning over your life as Lord and Savior who can deliver you from all fear. Simply, but humbly, sincerely, by believing the gospel. That is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he truly did die on Calvary's cross, taking the burden of sin, taking your body, replacing it with his body, having it pierced there to die, to kill your sin. That he literally was buried. He really died. And he stayed in the grave 3 days, proving, one, that he was man, and that he could bear your sins. But number three, proving on that third day, we have to believe that he rose again that day, according to the scriptures, proving that he's also God and the great deliverer of all mankind's sin for all who would believe. Today, coupled with repentance, If you'll believe the gospel and believe it so strongly that you'll repent, turn away, stop fearing living for God, and start being excited, not thinking about what ifs, but the I haves. Today, Jesus will save you from death, hell, and the grave, and restore you to a real life, not just in heaven one day, but here on earth as well. If you're in this room today and you say, that's me, Pastor Bryson, I understood that clearly and I need to be saved, would you simply just come down to the altar today? Now, we're getting about a quarter of the way of the year. Some of you have never made a decision to join Assurance Baptist Church or to be scripturally baptized. My question to you today is, was it past church hurts, past trauma in the church? That happens in churches too, that we have to get over, that we need to fix. What's stopping you? There's a loving church here that wants to join with you. There's a loving church here that wants to teach you about baptism and get you in the baptismal pool. The altar is open for you. As Brother Chuck sings, listen, whatever traumas are in your life, whatever fears in your life, whatever it is that God has you thinking about and convicting you of, whether it's joining the church, whether it's being saved, whatever it is, I'm standing right here. The assistant pastors are right here. Men for men, there's ladies for ladies. If you need to deal with God, this is the time and the place to do it. Spring forth, they always say, it's time to check our batteries. Let's check our spiritual batteries today. All arms. Father God, have your way and will with this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. We'll continue with part three next week, looking directly at panic and anxiety and overcoming those fears biblically next week. And so I encourage you to be here for that. But tonight at 5 p.m., I encourage you, the last week of our Cult Kingdom series. Tonight is, I saved it for last because it's my opinion that this is actually the worst one. This is the cult of the charismatic church or the charismatic movement, charisma. And that is killing. I don't call it real Christianity. Those people that really believe those things are lost, and that's just biblically, and I'm going to prove it tonight. And so you probably have friends and people, family that are in those churches and are involved in those movements, and you need to know why we need to be guarding our children and our grandchildren, our friends from those things, because they're not biblical and they are leading people. And I'll be quite honest, I'm going to say this tonight and I'll say it again. It doesn't matter. It's the truth. Those are directly from Satan. They are directly movements of Satan. I think there are some people who are doing what they do, some of those things we talked about, and I think they've just been trained that way and taught that way as children, and they had a form of godliness, and they think they're Christians. These people and these movements, they are strictly seducing spirits. that are engaging with, and you'll see that tonight. So I pray that you'll come back at 5 p.m. tonight. Choir reminder, we have rehearsal at 4 p.m. starting next week. For 2 weeks, we have 3 p.m., just 2 weeks, 3 p.m., and then we're off on Easter, getting ready for our choir and drama team, The Story of Jesus. You've heard the last 2 weeks a couple of those tracks playing in. It's a part of our Easter drama this year. I'm really excited about it, really focusing on the choir and the music this year and just some drama to bring that to life. But you invite your friends the day before Palm Sunday, April 1st, here at the church at 7 p.m., and then Palm Sunday morning, we'll be reprising that again. And so if you want to see it twice, come Saturday night and come church Sunday morning. That's fine. And then reminder that Easter Good Friday services are here at the church, Good Friday, the 7th, 7 p.m. But Easter services are being held at the Calumet Center just about 6 miles down the road here, 6 minutes down the road here over in Drexel on Calumet Lane, big orange building. There's flyers out there. Easter services are at 10:30, but at 9:30 we have a free continental breakfast. Easter, we do have nursery, but the children, everybody's going to be together. It's going to be a great day. We want you to come and celebrate Easter with us, have breakfast. There's no evening service that night, and so we just want to have one big thing. Some people would ask me, we are having the egg extravaganza, the kids' Easter thing. That's going to be on Palm Sunday during that morning, and so we're going to have the kids out there doing their Easter thing on Palm Sunday here at the church rather than trying to rally all that stuff over at the Calumet Center. So excited about those things that are coming up. You be involved. Be ready. Hey, listen, we have a baptism day coming up at the end of the month. It's in your bulletin. If you've not been scripturally baptized, if there's something that's stopping you from being scripturally baptized, please talk to me. We want to make sure that you do that in obedience to Jesus Christ. If you haven't joined Assurance Baptist Church, you have questions about the church, and you'd like to join the church, talk to me. We'd love to get you in. This is that time of year where we really want to be focused in together and have our souls knit together as we work towards Easter Sunday. And just the great memorial and resurrection Sunday of remembering that Jesus Christ overcame it, right? That Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. And so we want to make sure that our church's hearts and minds are knit with him and moving towards that, all right? So this morning, we're going to have our morning offering, and then you give back to the Lord as he's been good to you and richly blessed you. Our Fill the Well offering is doing well. A reminder that we do have Fill the Well going on. Just putting money into our account as we look forward to what God will do with the building and what we're going to be doing as far as moving forward, looking to have God's blessings upon us. And so you can put your building fund offering there. There's some envelopes up there, or you can write it on your regular envelopes and drop it in the baskets. Good, good, good to be in church this morning. Amen. Aren't you glad that you weren't a member of Bedside Baptist today? Or St. Mattress? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad for that. We'll be glad, and I'll be more glad, listen to me, I'll be more glad if you come back tonight. I'm going to say it one more time because I want you to hear me. Tonight is really important. Tonight's message is really important, not because I'm preaching it, but because it's what they would, this is why I don't like, we are evangelicals, but I don't call ourselves evangelicals because they lump us in with everybody, and these are the real Satan-led, driven, what they would call churches, and it's not Bible-believing Christianity. So you need to be here. It is devouring our families and our children. It's eating them alive. When you look around this church, there's a hole of people 18 to 30 years old, and that's the reason why. Because there's liberalism and okayism. I call it okayism. That's not a real word. But they just say, we're just okay with everything. The ladies can preach. You can be gay and lesbian and preach. You can do whatever you want because we don't care about the word of God. It's about how we emotion. This is part of their doctrinal statement. You'll see it tonight, but I'm not going to give you any more because you got to come back. All right, let's pray for the offering. You give back to the Lord as he's been good and blessed you. Father God, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, you have given us a wonderful place to come into, to serve, to return our tithe to you, Lord, to give an offering above. Father, let us see today that it is important that we would put into the offering basket what you require of us, but also, Lord, above that so that we can spread the true good news, the true Bible, to all the land. Father, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver today. In Jesus' name, amen.
preacher covered some of the announcements, but just a couple other ones we want to highlight. If you didn't get a copy of your bulletin, make sure you get one on the way out. Young at Heart, so for all 55 years and up, on March 16th at noon, there's the fellowship going to be in the fellowship hall for a time of fun, devotion, and food. But they just ask you, please bring a side dish or a dessert to share. Preacher already mentioned it, but Sunday, March 26th, is our special day. We want to push for people that need to get baptized to get baptized on that day. And then the last one is at the Welcome Center, there are family profile sheets. We're asking everybody to grab one and just give us an update on it. We're trying to get the directory updated, so if you'll get that and just write down your current information so we can make sure that's correct. And then if you haven't and want to submit a picture for the directory, Miss Nancy's church email is in there so you can see that. And then the last one, preacher already went through our Easter service list, but it's on the back of the bulletin. And then there are flyers out at the Welcome Center, so we want you guys to take those and invite somebody to come out to our Easter services.
Let's stand and sing our way out. Oh, how I love Jesus. I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Amen. See you this evening.